All right, we're going to continue in this Advent series called Sacred Places. We're looking at different places in the Christmas story. So last week we talked about the road, and we really looked at stepping out in faith and how it took faith for Mary and Joseph to travel on the road to Bethlehem. And today our place is Bethlehem itself, and we're going to be emphasizing Revelation. So before we go there, we're going to talk about birth stories. And I'm going to share with you guys a couple news stories, interesting birth stories. This gal's name is Laviana Munga, but she unexpectedly gave birth during a flight to Hawaii. She was 29 weeks along, and she did not know she was pregnant. And she went into labor on the plane from Utah to Hawaii. Wow. And thankfully, there were three NICU nurses and one doctor on board. Wow. And what they did, they used shoelaces to tie and cut the umbilical cord and an Apple Watch to monitor the baby's heart rate. So they kept the baby stable for 3 hours until they landed in Hawaii, and then she got to a Hawaiian hospital. So, interesting birth story. Here's another one for you. This gal, Maggie Griffin, and her husband Robert were on the way to a hospital. She was starting to have contractions, and she was on her way to the hospital. She really needed to use the restroom on the way to the hospital, so they stopped at a Chick-fil-A. Yeah, you can see where this is going. And she began labor while she was in the restroom of Chick-fil-A, and had a healthy baby born in the Chick-fil-A bathroom. Gracelyn Griffin, her birth certificate reads, born in Chick-fil-A. So there you go.
Yes,
I forgot to write that down, but they Chick-fil-A offered them Chick-fil-A for life, and they offered baby Gracelyn a job when she is old enough. So that is, thanks for reminding me. Well, your humor was true, Mike. So all right, here's another one for you. Tia Freeman didn't know she was pregnant. She found out right before her two-week trip to Europe. Everything was paid for. She didn't want to cancel, so she went anyway. And during a 17-hour layover in Turkey, she was in her hotel room, and she went into labor. And she went on YouTube and typed in how to deliver a baby. And she filled a bathtub with warm water, bit onto a towel, and after a few minutes, she was holding her baby. She stayed in Turkey another 2 weeks to rest and prepare for her trip home. So she never got to the other European countries she was hoping for. She also had to go to the U.S. Embassy to get paperwork for the baby, because you can't go to Europe without a baby and come home with the baby without proper paperwork. And then lastly, I have another birth story. I'm not going to get into all the details, but here is baby Henry. So this was our very special birth story in our family, but Leanne's parents were down. We were expecting Henry to come, and her parents wanted to be there for the birth. Henry did not come when we expected him. I went to work one day, and I think it was around 7 o'clock, I got a call. Leanne's going into labor. So she was going to have me meet her at the hospital. Her dad was going to drive her down. And I had a cow to breed at one of the farms. And I quickly bred the cow, drove over to Quick Trip because she wanted a blueberry muffin. And I still beat her to the hospital. So, woo! But just a couple of hours later, Henry was born. And there were some complications in Henry's birth. And we found out afterwards that it was a miracle pregnancy. So if you want the details to that, you can talk to us afterwards. I'm not going to share it.
Or just Google Madeline Discord.
Well, I'm not going to share all of that stuff in the sermon here, but it was pretty amazing. There was two incredibly miraculous things that happened in Henry's birth. So birth stories, you guys, we all have them. We all know about, cool birth stories and stuff. But this morning we're going to be looking at a birth story and the revelation of Jesus' birth, and the place is Bethlehem. So would you stand with me? We're going to read through Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 20. So Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. You may be seated. Shepherds. Here's a picture of a shepherd that I took on one of my trips to Tunisia. It was really neat to be driving along the road and often see shepherds with their little flocks. And it was just interesting watching them and having them look back. You could tell that there was a difference in culture there. I have another picture of a shepherd, Leanne, and a shepherd. And she tried talking to him. I think Matt or Melissa was doing a little translation and stuff. But Leanne also met a shepherd when we were over there a couple of years ago. But we're reading about shepherds here in Luke chapter 2. And shepherds played a very important role. Sheep are valuable for their wool, for their meat, and for sacrifices to the Jews. The shepherds here, I'm sure shepherds in Israel also tending goats as well. You wouldn't get wool off of a goat, but certainly milk and meat, and use goats for sacrifices as well. But the roles of the shepherds would be guarding their flocks, feeding the flocks, protecting them from predators, and searching for lost sheep, because the sheep don't always stay in a cute little group. Sometimes they wander off and you gotta go find them. Just think about that though. If you were a shepherd during this time, just the predators that would have been around, bears and lions and wolves and things like that, all wanting to, yes, oh my, stop it, Dan. but just think about that. These guys had an important role. A lost sheep would be lost money or lost sacrifice, and it's important for them to keep watch over their flocks and protect them from predators, making sure that a sheep that is injured, to take care of the sheep and care for it well. Shepherds often lived outdoors for extended periods of time. So just stop and think what they might look like. Pretty dirty. Now imagine what they smell like. I know, just, you know, going for a weekend of hunting, I'm pretty ripe when I come home, and all I'm doing is sitting in a tree stand for a few days. Imagine these guys actually dealing with animals and stuff day in and day out. No baths or showers. You can imagine if you encountered a shepherd during this time, you probably wouldn't want to get too close to them, right? These guys are outcasts. The Bethlehem shepherds in particular, their proximity to Jerusalem, since Bethlehem isn't far from Jerusalem, it's likely that the flocks that they are watching over would have been used for sacrifices, particularly for the Passover sacrifices. So these guys have a very important job, but you probably don't want to get too close to them because they're odd and they smell bad. So they're outcasts. If they were out in the pastures for long periods of time, they're often missing out on religious or social gatherings as well. So imagine, I know for our family, with me working with cattle for so many years, there's been a lot of family gatherings, a lot of holidays that I was not around because animals need to be cared for every day. So there was a lot of times Leanne and the kids, bless them, because they made it without me. But it was a lot of difficult days for our family when I had to work on holidays and weekends and all of that. So you can imagine what it would be like for these guys missing out on religious and social gatherings. They would also be ceremonially unclean because of their profession. You know, being around maybe a dead sheep or dirty things, they wouldn't be able to enter into the inner places of worship. So just imagine their life, you guys. Isolated, hard work, lengthy hours, harsh elements, and dirty. Okay, are we getting a picture of what life as a shepherd might be like? Probably much different than the modern day shepherds that we encountered in Tunisia. So just imagine now, there's a group of shepherds keeping over this flock of sheep. It's nighttime. Probably like most nights, it's fairly quiet. You're hearing the crickets. Boop, 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 boop. Maybe a distant owl, you know. Boop, boop, boop. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears. You guys ever been camping? You know what it's like to just have that quiet, peaceful evening, and then all of a sudden something happens, a big bang or noise or whatever. Just imagine this angel appearing now in front of the shepherds. And God himself is sending a messenger. He's revealing something to these shepherds, these lowly outcasts. God doesn't choose to reveal this message to those in the palace, the temple. He appears to the lowly outcasts of society out in the middle of nowhere. He sends an angel to them. And I just think, like all throughout Scripture, how often God appears to the lowly and the outcast. And how often God appears particularly to shepherds. You think about Moses. What was he doing when he encountered the burning bush? He was working as a shepherd. Think about David. What did he do? And the amount of times that God encountered him and inspired him to write songs and psalms and things like that. God has a special place for shepherds. Let's look again here at verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." Again, these guys are used to probably fairly quiet evenings all the time, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an angel appears. And I think every time an angel appears in Scripture, they always have to say, "Fear not," right? These guys are probably scared. The angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This message is for all the people, but I'm bringing it to you. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Manger is a place that you would use to feed animals, okay? It's not a place where new mothers would place their newborn child. But guess what, shepherds? If you want to believe what I'm saying to you, if you want to believe that the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the one that you've been waiting for, is here, go check it out. He's laying in a manger. And what do the shepherds do? Well, before that, they get this news, and all of a sudden there is, notice, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This quiet evening went to encountering an angel and then hearing heaven worshiping at the revelation of the birth of Jesus Christ. And the angels go away, and the shepherds say to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and check it out. We're not just going to sit here anymore. We've encountered something, and we need to know if this is true." And I love it. Verse 16, they went with haste. They ran. They couldn't wait to see if this was true. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They told Joseph and Mary what had happened, why they're there. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Again, these guys are outcasts. They probably didn't come into town much. People probably didn't ever see them excited. They probably came into town after long periods of time out. They're tired. They're exhausted. They just want to get home to their families. But here we have a bunch of excited shepherds running into Bethlehem to see this baby that's lying in a manger. And everyone's wondering what is going on. And verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary didn't know that she was going to be visited by shepherds. She didn't know that there would be all this news starting at the birth of her son. I think Mary pondering is an act of worship. Might not be the worship we normally think of when we hear the word worship, but I think Mary just pondering all of this stuff is worship. I also think worship is happening through the shepherds. Notice how excited they are. There's obedience. They went and ran into Bethlehem to see what this was about. They worshiped by being obedient. They're exuding joy at this news. And their testimony, they're speaking out about the birth of this child. Worship is happening in Bethlehem. The revelation of this baby's birth has created a rebirth in the shepherds. Something changed. And that's where I want to bring it into our time today. Five things to consider this week based on this scripture. First of all, revelation demands a response. When God reveals something to people, it demands a response. Are you going to obey that? Are you going to step out in faith when you hear this revelation, or are you not going to? Are you going to disobey? Revelation demands a response. And I just think that this is so important, you guys. Whenever the gospel is presented, it demands a response. And people might choose to respond with ignoring it, rejecting it, but it still demands a response. And that's why it's so important for us as believers to share the good news. Because a lot of times the response will be, "Yes, I believe that. I didn't know that I was a sinner. And I want to be saved." I think there's so many people that are hungry for the good news. And it's up to us to reveal that to them. And again, just a reminder for all of us. We've all gone through a stressful week, a difficult week, different struggles and all that. When we encounter the gospel again this morning, are we going to respond to it in faith? Are we going to surrender ourselves once again over to Jesus and say, "Yes, I believe that you lived a perfect life, that you died in my place, and you offer salvation to me. All I have to do is repent and believe." Revelation demands a response. Second point, God uses ordinary people to share extraordinary news. We talked a little bit about this last week and just the experiences I had as a cow breeder and the opportunities God gave me to share the good news with farmers. And again, I just want to emphasize this, you guys. At that time in my life, I was able to go places and interact with people that most of you could not or would not interact with. And it's the same with each one of you. The different workplaces you go to, the different schools you're in, you get a chance to go into those places that I cannot. And it's wonderful how God sets this up. He wants all of his people to share extraordinary news all of the time in all the different places that we go. And a lot of us might be thinking, well, I'm ordinary. I'm no one special. I don't even know a whole lot about theology or the Bible or anything. And it doesn't matter. I would encourage you to grow in those things. But what matters is if you've encountered Jesus Christ and his salvation, that's all you need. Share it. Share what God has done in your life. And God will use ordinary people to share that extraordinary news and save others. It's beautiful. And the heavy lifting's off of us. I don't need to save anybody. All I have to do is speak out about what God has done in my life. God does the saving. The pressure's off me. I just need to be obedient in sharing the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 29 says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." God does it all. And if he wants to choose the lowly and the outcasts and the people like you and me, that's awesome. It shows how amazing he is, not how amazing we are. Amen?
Amen.
All right, third point. Joy fuels testimony. When we experience God and experience his joy, it will fuel our testimony. And if we're not excited about sharing the testimony, maybe we're not encountering God enough. And I'm speaking out of conviction here. Okay, I'm not a very joyful person. You can ask my wife and kids. Maybe I need to spend some more time with the Lord and more time in gratitude. Because you know what? My life is awfully blessed. And the more I reflect on God's goodness in my life, the fact that my name is written in the book of life, the fact that he's given me the knowledge and the talents and the things that I have, why would I waste that on myself? Right? Why not use it for his glory? I've shared a story similar to this, I think, a couple of years ago, but I'm going to share a birding story with you guys. Earlier this year, in January, there was some, here in Minnesota, when it gets cold, most places of water are frozen over, right? But there's always some places that have open water, and in the wintertime, that's one of the only places to find good birds. So lots of birders were checking out these places down by Shakopee. And I went out there to look for a specific duck. And I had been out there a couple times already this year, couldn't find it. And this particular day that I went out, I looked back on the weather report just so I could give you accurate information here this morning. But it was 13 degrees with a 29 mile per hour wind. Okay. And when I was looking over these ponds, the wind was blowing in my face. And it doesn't matter how big your beard is or how many clothes you got on, you can only be out in that weather for so long, right? You start to get cold. And I had been scanning this pond back and forth with the wind blowing on me. I couldn't find this duck I was hoping for. I thought, I'm going to give this one more pass, and then I'm going to give up. And on my last pass, I found a different duck that's even more rare than the one I was looking for. So this one right here is called a Barrow's Goldeneye. It's normally found west of the Rocky Mountains. Every so often we'll get a sighting here in Minnesota, but the last time it was seen in this county was over a decade ago. So all of a sudden I get excited, right? Like, I just found something by myself. I'm not chasing someone else's sighting. I finally have something to give back to the birding community and say, here you go, here's something fun. But my problem is, if I report this duck, no one's going to believe me if I don't have a picture. Because it's rare enough, like, birders are going to be skeptical. Lots of people have been out here anyways. It's never been reported. So now I'm out there in this cold weather with no glove on my hand, holding my camera, my phone, because I didn't have my camera in that cold of weather. I had my phone balancing up to my scope, trying to get this picture, and I finally got one. So there you go. And I ended up going out one other time to get one with my camera later in that week. But again, I'm telling this story not to share about birds so much as it is, when this news got out, people flocked from all over the place to come see this thing, okay? And what's interesting, as a birder who finally found a rare one by myself, I couldn't wait to get the news out. Like, hey, guess what I found, right? And it just, all of a sudden, people were coming from all over. It was contagious joy that so many people for birding for so long finally got to see one that they haven't seen before. Okay, before I left this nature area, there I had reported it, you know, out in the cold. And by the time I left the parking lot, there was people pulling in. Okay, so if people get this excited about birds, you guys, imagine if they heard the news that there's hope for their soul. And again, I'm feeling convicted as I share this with you, you guys. If we got joyful about our salvation, about the good news of Jesus Christ, could you imagine the response? Like, true joy, could you imagine the response? Joy fuels testimony. Let that sink in. Let us seek that this week. Amen?
Amen.
Fourth, reflection deepens revelation. So we're talking about revelation today. We're hearing about the birth of Jesus Christ, the glory to God through this birth, peace on earth through this birth, this revelation. And what we see here in verse 19, remember, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I don't want to go over that too quickly. I probably have to think more about it myself, but I've been thinking about that. Like, man, she was just reflecting on the wonderful things that are happening around her, the worship that is happening around her, the miraculous, marvelous things around her. Shepherds coming in from way out of the fields to come see her baby laying in a manger and praising God, and it's contagious joy. And she's just pondering all this in her heart, reflecting on it. And again, I want to challenge us in our very, very busy schedules to take time for reflection. I don't think any of us do it enough. Take time to reflect on the things the Lord is doing in you and around you. Quiet the noise. Stop the distractions and hear God. I don't want to be weird, but you know, a lot of times when the Lord speaks to me, I'm in the shower. Because it's the place where I'm alone. I have no phone. It's just quiet. And there's been multiple times the Lord has spoke to me there. But what if we take intentional time to just get away and be quiet and be still before God? I believe when we do that in faith, the Lord will speak to us. And then we reflect on what he said. So I want to challenge us to reflect on God's revelation through Christ. And then lastly, when we reveal Jesus, we bring glory to God. Isn't that what creation is for? To reveal God's glory, to praise his name. When we reveal Jesus, the perfect man, and particularly when we reveal Jesus in us, we bring glory to God. And I just want to encourage us to not be afraid to share the revelation of Jesus to those around us. And I could share with you a story of my birth. That's me. And you guys might be a little interested and be like, oh, that's cute, whatever. You know, there I am. I'm all cute. But you know, you don't think I'm cute? That's me.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, I'm cute. But you know what's more amazing than a birth story is a rebirth story. And here's a picture of me at my baptism. And I just want to encourage us, you guys, the joy that we get when we hear someone we know and love had their first baby. You know, it's amazing to hear that news. What's even more amazing is when we hear the rebirth story of someone who has come to Christ in faith. That's worth celebrating even more. And I want to challenge you all, share what Jesus has done and is doing in your life. I want to end with one verse here. Matthew 5:16. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When we know Christ, we have this spiritual light and we're meant to let it shine. And it shines through our testimony and it shines through our good works. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we're saved. And we let that light of Christ shine in us and through us, and people will see that, and it will be contagious. I'm sure all of us, when we came to Christ, things changed in our life, and people started to notice, hey, you don't do this anymore. You don't say this anymore. What's up? You're different. What an opportunity to share why that happened. It's not because you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps or changed anything yourself. It's because Jesus did it. And he is worth that glory. Yes. Share it. Let your light shine. Let's pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing who you are. Thank you for, God, for revealing your glory in Christ. And Lord, I ask that you continue to reveal your love and mercy to us through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and boldness to announce our rebirth story as we reveal your gospel to those around us. And all God's people said,
Amen.